Thanks, guys. It's great having some of our younger people leading this morning. Before we get into the sermon, actually, I'm going to do something that I almost never do. You've been sitting for a while. I'm going to invite you to stand up, turn around, say hi to somebody around you, maybe somebody you haven't met before. Just stretch your legs. I may have a feeling I'm going to regret that. I need the cowbell I used for VBS to get everyone's attention now. I know, it's gone. I did. I invite you to come back to your seats. I have a few announcements before we get into the sermon. Just some of these are in your bulletin, some of them are not. First of all, there's some fall ministry opportunities we invite you to take a look at. We need some more help in children's ministry. And there's some community meal stuff that's pretty exciting. We've been doing breakfast every other week for lots of years now. I don't know how many years. But we're starting to do a lunch every other week. And we have a pretty good team in place once a month. Breakfast once a month. Lunch once a month. Okay, yeah, it happens every other week. We do one of those every other week things. Anyway, it's kind of exciting, chance to help care for our community. If you have any questions or you're interested in helping, then you can talk to Elise. But at least, very least, pray for them, especially as they start up this lunch thing that is new. We have a movie coming up on Tuesday. We were sitting there saying, why don't we just do something for the kids in our area and in our community and for families? So we are doing a movie presentation on Tuesday at 2 o'clock. So if you have kids, grandkids, family that you are just looking to get out and do something different, come on over. There'll be free popcorn and some lemonade and stuff. There's no cost for that. We're going to be showing the movie Up, which is just a fun movie. The other thing, I'm going to mention this as a prayer request. Elise got in touch with me about a refugee sponsorship. Many of you know that we helped to sponsor the Hereya family come from Syria, well, come from Turkey, Lebanon, sorry. That's a few years ago now. 4 years ago they came. And they left behind their family and their loved ones and really their entire lives for the safety and their ability for their kids to come to school here because they were not safe for them to go to school there. We got a message from a Mennonite Central Committee that there is a renewed sponsorship opening possibility, but it's for something called named sponsorship. It's for specific people who have refugee status, who are in danger where they are, and we can name them and sponsor them to come. And Iman has been worried about her family. Her family is in Lebanon as well, is that correct? Her mom, she has a sister, she has a brother. They aren't allowed to work. They are facing regular persecution, and just it's not safe for refugees there right now. And so we consulted with the board, and we've decided to fill out what's called an expression of interest with their names attached, that we might be able to bring her family to come and to be with them here. And so there's nothing more at this point because we're filling out the expression of interest that has to be approved, and MCC only has like 80-something spots for all of so they're going to have to choose those who are in the most danger. But be praying for the application process as Elise and Iman work to fill it out. And just if we want to be prepared to help if these are people that God is opening the door for us to help get out of a place where they are in a lot of danger and are facing significant persecution and lack of safety. So be praying for that process. And once we know anything from that process, we will let you know. But I just want you to be aware that was happening for your prayers. A couple of other prayer items. I'll be praying for the youth activities this summer, our movie showing on Tuesday. And we got an email prayer request this week that I passed out to you of a young man named Xander, a 12-year-old boy who has had swelling in his optic nerves, and they weren't sure why. They didn't know if it was something in his brain. So they've done a CT scan, and it's not in his brain. They're still doing MRI testing. They believe it's a buildup of spinal fluid, and so working with the right people to know how to monitor that and how to treat that. Xander is a young man who has been a part of our youth program here, and so we want to be praying for him and for his family as well, as they're trying to just figure out what's happening and how to treat it well. So let's pray, and then we'll jump in. God, thank you that you are with us no matter what we're facing. God, I thank you that there are many, many, many people here who can share about how you have been a presence and a peace through times of trouble that they couldn't see a way through. God, I pray for those who are in that type of situation. I pray for Iman's family as they don't know what's going to happen or where it's going to go. God, if we are meant to be a part of sharing and spreading your peace around the world by helping them to get to a place where they can be free, God, I ask that you would work things through this application process that we would be able to be that part. That if we get approved, that we would mobilize well to be able to support Iman's family well. God, I pray for Xander and his family. Just may a clear diagnosis come up, and may they know well how to treat it so there will be no long-term lasting impacts. Thank you that he's not experiencing headaches and nausea right now. Just pray that you would help that to continue to not happen, and that he would be well soon. Be support to his parents and his family during this time. And God, I thank you that we have the chance to create a space here where people can be welcomed and know that it is safe and they are loved. And just as our youth activities happen during the week and as the movie happens this coming Tuesday, may that be the kind of space that's offered. May we share the love of Jesus well in these times to just come together and just to hang out. And may people know that they are welcomed and loved. God, as we continue through the service and look at one particular proverb, I ask that you would help us to hear from you, help me to not say what I shouldn't, and help us to hear what you want us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, do you guys know the term earworms? Anybody heard that term before? For those who don't know what it is, who wants to try and explain it? What's an earworm?
Say somebody sings a very catchy tune, and then all of a sudden you find yourself constantly singing it, and you can't stop.
Yeah. It's a song that just gets stuck in your head, and just over and over. Anybody experienced that before? Just gets stuck and you can't get it out? Yeah. When I was reading through Proverbs, and I started several weeks ago, I was reading through Proverbs, and there's one particular proverb that I would say I got a proverbial earworm. It just got stuck in my head. I couldn't get it out of it. One verse, one short proverb, and I was like, it's almost silly to at first I read it and I kind of laughed, and then it just wouldn't get out of my head. Part of the reason, here's what the proverb is. Proverbs 11:22. Like a gold ring and a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. See, you laugh too. It's kind of a funny one to get stuck in my head. Now, part of the reason it got stuck in my head was because I got an actual earworm in my head as a result of it. Anybody remember a Saskatchewan-based rock band in the early 90s called the Northern Pikes? They had a song, "She Ain't Pretty, She Just Looks That Way." That got in my head when I read this proverb. Good, I'm not the only one. Somebody else is going to have that stuck in your head the rest of the day too. But that got stuck in my head. But as the more I sat with this, the more I started asking all kinds of bigger questions. And I'm just going to explore some of those with us this morning. Like a gold ring and a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. Really quickly, let's notice what this proverb does and what it does not do. The first thing I would point out is that this proverb acknowledges the reality of external beauty. Like a gold ring and a pig snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. It doesn't say that it was not really beautiful. It actually says, no, it actually is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful gold ring, a beautiful woman. In some church contexts that I've been familiar with, it's been considered really superficial and somewhat taboo to acknowledge outward beauty, at least for anyone other than one's spouse. I remember at one point I went to Bible college and I was sitting with a small group of friends at the back of a soundboard, and we were playing through the PA system a new cassette tape that one of us had. Some the same ones of you who remember She Ain't Pretty, She Just Looks That Way also are like, oh yeah, cassette tapes. We were playing that over the sound system, and one of our professors approached us and asked who we were listening to. So we gave him the album case, the cassette's playing away, he's listening to it. We talked about the music for a while. I was like, that's good. And then before he left, he made this passing comment. He just said, you know, she's pretty too, and passed the thing back. Now, it's an album cover. They take the pictures designed to show someone looking good, right? But after he walked away, one of my friends looked at me and said, is he allowed to say that? He's married. Is he allowed to say that someone looks pretty? He didn't deny that what he said was true. It's just that our context put kind of a shame on people who talked about or acknowledged that something was beautiful or someone was beautiful on the outside. This proverb doesn't do that. It starts by saying, no, there is actually this external beauty. Let's be honest about that. It's real. It's there. Let's acknowledge it. But it very quickly moves on from that. And it warns against allowing this external beauty to distract us from what someone or something is really, truly like. Remember, this is written in a Jewish context. And so there wasn't much that they could have said worse than to say it's in a pig's snout, this unclean, dirty thing. Obviously, this context is speaking about a woman. And at a most basic sense, that is not a metaphor for something else. It's actually talking about a beautiful woman who doesn't have any sense of discretion. If you read through the Proverbs, there's lengthy passages warning the young men listening about the beautiful, but it says adulterous woman, the one who comes out in the streets and tries to lure them away from what their commitment has been. Women in this context, in actually most of history, didn't have much power. And so they may be inclined to use their beauty to prey on men and to use the men for their benefit. External beauty, controlling men through their pants, so to speak, it's been one of the tools of influence for women through much of human history because they didn't have much else in terms of power. This proverb stands in that line of thinking and does so not by disregarding the reality of external beauty, but by pointing out that external beauty can't cover up what's really true about someone. And so you need to see what's really true. In this case, the beautiful woman shows no discretion, no judgment, no discernment, no reason. When it comes to people and the things that we think make them beautiful, whether it be their looks or their physical strength or the job they have or the amount of money that they have, whatever it may be, this proverb challenges us to think about what are we really looking at? Are we getting so caught up on this thing that we think makes them look beautiful that we're missing the pig? We shouldn't be distracted by their external beauty to such an extent that we don't pay attention and miss the potential of what that beauty is attached to. But as this proverb spun through my head for a few weeks, I began to think about all the various ways and places we sometimes get distracted by a proverbial gold ring, which can be very distracting and can make it very difficult to see what it's attached to. In fact, the more I've thought about it, the more I'm realizing that much of our culture, our world's culture, is rooted in getting us to look at the pretty shiny ring and not seeing what's behind it, or at least convincing us that we shouldn't pay attention to it. Think about the advertisements we see, the commercials we see, everything made to look shiny and pretty. I saw an article this week. It was from 2015, and digital marketing experts estimate that we see between 4,000 and 10,000 advertisements a day. And at first, I thought that was high. The one article I read, they thought it sounded high too, and they were marketing research people. And so the one guy decided, I'm going to test this. How many do I see? Here's what he said. He said, on my test day, I woke up in the morning to my Sony radio alarm clock, heard about 14 ads on my local station before I opened my eyes and hit the snooze on my Sony clock. I used my Panasonic TV and Dish Network receiver remotes, noticed a Kenwood receiver and a Toshiba DVD player, because they all have little ads on them, right? I watched and listened to 46 TV commercials as I got going. I dressed in my Fruit of the Loom undershirt, Big Dog shirt, Wrangler jeans, and Nike shoes. 11 brand advertisements within eyesight in the closet. He's not digging for them. He talks about all of the things he saw. He said, I opened up my pantry and counted 214 food brand labels, all colorful and professionally created. I get my box of Kellogg's for my Jersey milk and counted 62 brands. I opened a can of Folgers coffee to brew in my Mr. Coffee Maker. Said I'd gotten to around 487 ad exposures and I hadn't even finished breakfast. But all of those things, shiny, pretty, but we almost never ask kind of what's behind it. What's the story behind it? What have we bought when we've bought that shiny, pretty, new thing? The media we take in, whether it be TV or movies or video games, everything is made to look so shiny and glossy and impressive. And too often we don't think about what worldview or moral ideas or ways of thinking are they trying to communicate to us and get us to buy into and get us thinking about or get our children thinking about. And it's not just TV, media, movies, social media stuff. That's kind of easy to pick on. But even when we get to things that you think should be about really ideas and what it's about, you know, things like politics, say, when everything is carefully researched, they know exactly what color suit and shirt and tie is going to gain more trust with the people that are watching the debate. It's research meticulously selected. They're coached on how to stand, walk, hold their hands, because all of those glossy, shiny things have as much of an impact as what ideas are actually talked about. And if you watch politics from anywhere, there is all too often too much conversation about looks and what people look like. This is especially, I just remembering the last U.S. election when there's a woman involved, they just talk as much about looks as anything else. But of course, we have a prime minister who often his looks have been talked about as much as anything else. It's all around us. But it's true even within the Christian context. A lot of times we find ourselves looking, saying, oh, well, that's got a Christian fish on it, so it must be okay. And that, or that, well, that's at a Christian bookstore, so it must be fine. I'm not telling you this to burst anyone's bubble, but I want to give you some idea of some of what goes on out there. Books that get published often get published because not because of the quality they have, but because of the built-in market around the one who wrote it. So this is something that genuinely happens. If someone is a pastor of a large church where they know there's a built-in number of people who are going to buy it, so book publishers know they need to sell a certain amount just to break even. Anything over that is gravy. So if somebody's got a church that has a few thousand people, they're like, hey, we need 3,000 units to break even on this. if we publish this guy's book, we know we'll break even. And if we can go beyond that, if they buy it for their friends, then it can get us on like a bestseller list. And then it gets into the cycle of, well, it must be good because it's on the bestsellers list, so let's buy that one. And it takes off, and it has nothing to do with the actual quality of the book. It has to do with the fact that there was a built-in audience already, and that's why a book publisher will select a book to get published in the first place. It has nothing to do with whether it's good or not. It has everything to do with, we can make it look good and glossy and shiny, and we can make money off of it. I was talking with somebody I met recently. I took a course with him, and he at one point was in a band that was touring around the world, actually. They had some significant Christian radio hits. The first song that was a hit was totally an accident. He told me the story of how it got radio airplay, and it broke all of the rules for what a song that gets radio airplay should look like. But it made it on the radio, and people liked it. So they got picked up by a record label, and that record label said, okay, we want you to make another record. So they sit down, and they make a record, and the label came back to them and said, we can't make this album. And they said, why not? Well, because it doesn't have the right songs on it. What do you mean? They said, no, your songs need to look like this. And they gave them a formula. And they actually named a person. He told me this, I was blown away. They have this hypothetical person named Becky. This is Christian radio, okay? Christian music publishing. They have this hypothetical person named Becky, and Becky has a hypothetical age and a hypothetical family and hypothetical listening habits. And they say, you need to write a song that this hypothetical person will like. Because that's what's going to get played on the radio. Because they need to play the song that people will listen to so that they can sell the advertising, so that they can keep running the radio airplay. And they forced this band back into the studio to work on songs that would fit this formula that would get sold to this person. That was like a hypothetical, like, target market person. It had nothing to do with the quality of the music or the depth of the lyrics or anything like that. It had to do with, we need something that will sell to this person. We need an earworm. That's basically what they were saying. So much of what we do with around the Christian idea is really more about paying attention to the gold ring and not paying attention to anything that's behind it. Let's go a little farther. Local church. We still do this when people. When I go to pastors' things and we talk about, you know, how are things going at your church, we talk about mostly superficial things. When people talk about a church that they visited and they come back and say, oh, I went to the church, it was so great. Really? Yeah. The band was awesome. They had a great, they had a really flashy, exciting kids program. The speaker, like, just, like, really grabbed people's attention. All not bad things. But they don't talk about what's actually behind it, the things that take time to get to know. Before I just open it for questions, comments, conversation. I've got more to talk about here, but any thoughts, comments, questions so far? Nothing? Okay. As I've wrestled with this, Our cultural emphasis on kind of flashy things and my personal temptation to get drawn in by the pretty things and missing what's really deep and important, I've begun to ask myself two questions that I'd like to challenge you to consider as we go from here today. Remember, wisdom literature isn't about saying this is what you need to do. It's about challenging you to think about things and to build discernment in your life so that you can live well. The very act of considering these questions might be helpful to you. The first question is simply this. Where am I being drawn in by the pretty things without looking beyond them well? Without looking past them? Is it in pursuit of relationships? Is it social media? Is it, you know, the vehicle that you want to buy? Is it well, I've been invited to this party and I really want to go because these people are going to be there. Some are trying to decide on what school you're going to, the music you listen to, movies you watch, the church you attend. Where am I finding myself drawn in by the pretty things and not looking beyond them well to discern what the deeper thing is? Again, this is not saying that something good and right can't be attached to a pretty thing. You understand that? It's not because the flip side that some people go to is like, well, we don't want to look flashy because it's not about that. Well, it can be both beautiful and a woman can be both beautiful and have discretion. Let's say that. But it's true of all of these things. But the second question for me has moved me even deeper. Question one, how am I finding myself drawn in by the pretty things and not exploring what's underneath? The second question is, where am I trying to make myself look good instead of being open to the deeper work of God in the areas of life that are most important? Where am I trying to put on the gold ring instead of allowing God to do deep work that will help me be a person with discretion and wisdom? Too often, I know pictures that get posted online are about trying to put this pretty face forward. Or the stories I share about myself, we share about ourselves. The facade that we may work hard to put up when we walk through the doors of a church building on Sunday morning. These things, posting pictures, sharing stories, having a sense of a guard up, they aren't necessarily bad things. I mean, we aren't supposed to just be dumping everything on everyone. But if we're doing it for the purpose of dressing ourselves up and looking good for people and trying to impress them, then there's concerns. The motive here is huge. Where am I trying to make myself look good instead of being open to God doing a deep work in my heart? As a church, as when we wrestle with stuff with leadership and me as a pastor, how do we sometimes try and make our church look better than it really is in order to try to attract people and sell them on something that isn't really true about us? Rather than being honest about the work God needs to keep doing in us and among us. That's what I've been wrestling with as I sat with this. Like a gold ring in a pig snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. Where am I getting distracted by the gold rings and where am I trying to put them on? I challenge you, encourage you to wrestle with those questions as you go from here. The goal isn't like a quick fix. Hey, here's everything's figured out. It's let's move through life thoughtfully with wisdom, paying attention to what's around us and paying attention to what's going on in us so that deep work can be done in us. And then the beauty that we show on the outside becomes something that's just a reflection of the beauty that's growing in us. Let's pray. God, I just ask that you would help us to be people of discernment in every area of our lives. Give us wisdom and judgment and courage to ask hard questions about the stuff that we take in and that we see and the stuff that we put out there and we portray. Help us to live as true and honest and vulnerable people together on this journey. God, may we not get caught up in trying to dress ourselves up in ways that we think others expect or in ways that we think will get us the most accolades or attention. May we be open to you doing your deep work in us. As I said, so that the beauty on the outside is a reflection of what is really true in us. That people would be drawn to us, and as they are, they would be drawn into you. And that they would discover that they can be changed deeply as well. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand. We're going to sing that song, Good Grace, that we heard earlier.